Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. excuse me. Crystal, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, Amy.
Okay, good. Yeah, that the music just caught me off guard. It ended. We've got a couple of people who have called in already, but Crystal and I were talking before the show, I think in light of the situation in Boston and everyone's emotions, that it's probably not a good idea for us to do readings tonight, and that we were going to spend some time talking about what light workers do when tragedy strikes. It seems that everyone's been really ill at ease this afternoon, and trying to pray and hope for the best for everyone affected by this. But with between the media, you know, between TV and social media and things like that, very easy to get quite caught up in this. And I know a lot of us are empaths and absorb the emotions of others. So I just thought it might be a good idea that we talk about that, at least for the first part of the show. And then if we have some time and the mood changes some, perhaps we can do some quick readings. Now, Aurora Rose was going to join us as well. And I have the phone held up to my ear. What is her area code again?
270.
Okay, she's not here yet. So we're going to be looking for Aurora and popping her in. So anyway, Crystal, what do you think about, or do you have any comments about the events of today?
Well, obviously, it is a horrible, unexpected tragedy for everyone involved. And the families and everything else, our hearts and our love go out to them, of course. And, of course, we ask for healing for all those involved at this time, because this is a very difficult situation for anyone to ever have to go through. So I pray that, you know, the authorities that be will catch whomever did it, and that it will be clarified and, you know, cleaned up as quickly as possible, and there will be no repeat performances, so to speak.
Yeah, I thought, excuse me. Sorry about that. I'm sorry at a little bit of a loss of words today. I made a big mistake, and when I saw it come across my Facebook page, I turned on the news and spent most of the afternoon actually watching the news, which now that I've worked myself into the state that I'm in over this, sort of wish that I had turned the TV off, but we're such voyeurs by nature, you know, we just want to know it, and, you know, it's just like we want to know everything, and it was so confusing, and, it, you know, it reminded me an awful lot of, although it was on a smaller scale of, you know, the events in 9/11, which hit very close to home, because my father was a EMT at 9/11, and two friends from high school and one friend from college actually the World Trade Center. So it feels, you know, you want to watch and find out what is going on, but didn't really have any news. So they just kept saying the same thing. Some things were true, some different. Meanwhile, you know, Facebook's a flutter with people sharing all sorts of stuff. You know, everything just goes in so many different directions. The conspiracists were talking about being a false flag, and then these many people and that many people and everything. So you find yourself watching less TV, less news, so that you can filter out negative influences. Crystal, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yes, I agree. I mean, like you said, as being empaths for both of us, it does make it very difficult to block out those energies of the hurt and the tragedy that's going on, and for us to be able to tune into others easily in order to be able to give readings and everything, because you know, you do feel that. You feel that energy of what's happened, and it does feel, in a way, like 9/11 all over again for a lot of people, I'm sure. You know, yes, on a much smaller scale, of course, but, you know, it stirs up those old feelings for a lot of people, and that in itself can, you know, create this thing of fear. And that's one thing that we need to try to actually avoid, because fear in itself is going to put out more negativity and more of what we don't want, you know, in the universe overall, because of that fear is a negative emotion, and it will automatically just fear will beget more fear, and it's like a snowball effect in a way. And we need to try to do our best that if it is not immediately affecting our family at the moment, to try to send as much love and healing to those that it is affecting, rather than focusing on the fear of all this. Because you know, that emotion in itself is very powerful. As we all know, all emotions are very powerful. But focusing on negative emotions themselves, you know, it will just, like I said, really snowball for everybody, you know? So we need to try to do the best we
can.
We
really need it, you know, when fear manifests itself in so many different ways, you know, it manifests itself, well, first and foremost, in our thoughts, but then also, you know, it manifests itself in what we say. And the big thing these days is and what we post on Facebook. You know, I really want to make sure that we keep our thoughts. By keeping thoughts positive doesn't mean to just, you know, pour a bunch of Hershey syrup on top of all this and, you know, say something, oh, it was meant to be, or, you know, it was a contract, or, you know, I think a lot of times we take spiritual concepts and misuse them to sort of just, you know, as a so that we don't have to feel negative emotions tied to emotionally charged events like this. But remembering back to 9/11 and the days following 9/11, you know, so many people were impacted. You know, there was a great coming together. There was a great coming together of people. And Greg Braden, who has written a lot about the energetic changes and things that we're experiencing on the planet right now, has written about the fact that in the days after 9/11, there was actually, because of this positive energy and because of this like kumbaya moment that our culture experienced, they actually measured the frequencies and magnetic fields of the planet, and they had actually spiked in those days. So our thoughts and our words and those things have we talked about this time and time, and these are some of the scientific principles behind energy work and energy healing and behind mediumship and behind all of the things that we talk about on these different blog talk segments. So it is an opportunity, you know, and saying, oh, it happened for, you know, it happened for a reason. So it's such a great thing it happened because now we'll all come together. But in its face, we have two ways to react. We can either react in a fear-based manner, or we can react, and not to say that we're not going to be outraged or have some ill will towards the perpetrators of these people, but I mean, of this, of the people that, you know, were behind this event. But to do that is really just giving giving those people more power. So, Crystal, stepping back a little bit, you know, it's interesting because, like, on days like today when something's inescapable, we spend more time focusing on things like this. But do you have any tips for our listeners of different either mantras or meditations or just tools that our listeners can use when they're faced with just, you know, a personal negative situation? It doesn't have to be something, you know, it could just be a personal catastrophe. What do you do if something, you know, if something happens, I can't think of something, like, you know, whether it's like your car breaks down or, you know, bounce a check or, you know, whatever, something on a smaller scale, because it's really those smaller scale things that happen with so much frequency that really do take away from our overall sense of peace and well-being. Do you have any tools that you use when stupid little shitty things happen?
Well, basically, I mean, I do my best I mean, hey, we're human. We're all human. And the thing is that we are here to have the human experience. And that is actually to experience these emotions, irregardless, you know. And whether it is negative, positive, however we want to label it. But on the same token, I mean, yes, we want to try to keep a higher vibrational frequency, you know, overall. And meditation, I mean, basically trying to shut out the worry, the fear, and everything else of what I call the ego mind, you know, that'll just run rampant, you know, and make you crazy, basically. I mean, because it'll just take over, you know. And trying to shut it out and meditate is the one way that I actually handle it. I don't have any specific meditations. It depends on the mood I'm in, the situation itself, as to which one I turn to at that time. Sometimes it's healing. Sometimes it's chakra cleansing, depending on, you know, if my heart is really hurting, you know, to help heal my heart or open my heart back up, you know, if it's something I'm really angry about at that moment or whatever. You know, it just depends on the particular situation, but generally that's usually what I do, is try to meditate as much as possible, you know, to try to keep my vibrations higher, because, I mean, like I said, let's face it, we're human and stuff's going to happen in life no matter what, you know, to each one of us, whether it be big or small. And just trying to deal with those individual things on a daily basis, trying not to let it totally take over your life, you know, is the big thing, I think.
Exactly.
And it's huge. So rapid.
And to also be honest at the same time. Because, sure, it's
right.
You know, if you're sitting there seething inside because something has happened to you, and then, you know, you just walk around and you're like, oh, love and light, oh, it was meant to be, oh, it's my karma or something like that. You're not doing anything. You're just creating noise.
Exactly.
Two of the things that I do, and I unmuted Aurora and we'll have her chime in on this, two of the things that I've learned to do, and these are so against my nature.
Give me just a sec, guys.
What? Oh,
she said, give her a second.
Oh, okay. Is to have a sense of gratitude, about gratitude for the opportunity. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm so grateful that this bomb went off so that I can appreciate this or something like that. That would be ridiculous. But to really try to have an attitude of genuine gratitude for the opportunity to experience this, or the opportunity for healing, or things like that. And another tool that I use is really a little bit more specific, because it's actually something, because, you know, for the gratitude, you've got to grow into a place where you are actually can be grateful for the opportunity, is that I will breathe in through my third eye and out through my heart, and in through my third eye, and out through my heart. And that seems to raise my vibration some, because, you know, fear lodges itself in our lower chakras. So by shifting the focus of the energy up to my heart, you know, up, pulling in the universal energy, and then getting it to kind of go in a cycle, you know, third eye out through my heart and up like that, it seems to take the focus off, at least off the part of my body that houses the fear. So anyway, Aurora, you said you're back. I don't know.
Yeah.
How, I noticed you, I looked over and then I saw your numbers. So I don't know how much of you've heard of what we were talking about so far, but at least for the first part of the show, instead of just going into reading, but it didn't feel right, we're just sort of talking about the events of today and different tools and tips of, you know, what we can do when tragedy strikes, whether it's just a personal tragedy, you know, it could be a broken nail, you know, because anything that separates us is equal, you know, or something, you know, a tragedy of this nature, which certainly has affected many more people. Do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think the first thing to remember is, of course, you know, if you need to, everybody feels everything in a different way. So, of course, you know, there are some people, even people that weren't directly affected, that will probably need time to grieve or deal with the situation in their own way, whether that be just to be silent and avoid people for a while or whatever. That's fine, and you shouldn't feel bad about that, because I know sometimes some people feel like, oh, I don't have the right to grieve because my family or I wasn't directly harmed in this kind of situation. So they feel, you know, or even when it's something a little bit closer, like let's say their friend's mother dies, especially empaths, we have a tendency to feel that friend's pain or feel the pain of the family around them. And we sometimes feel guilty that we're emotional because of this, when we think we don't have a right to be. And it's really important to remember that we do have, it's okay to be sad. But like you were talking about, it's also good that we try our best, though, to get our vibrational frequencies back up there and try to use it in a way to help each other and grow, as opposed to keep us down in the dumps in this negative area, you know?
Right, to use it to facilitate healing. And you bring up such an important point, because so often when, you know, everybody has a certain degree of empathy, but for some people it's just so much more pronounced, a lot of times it'll just bring on a whole weight. Then you start feeling either guilty or even worse, crazy, because you're mm-hmm. experiencing this pain, or else, you know, you might have friends or coworkers or, you know, peers of yours that are like, you know, why are you such a drama queen, you know? And so it's important that, I think it's important when something like this happens, that you look beyond the actual event and the carnage of what happened, and use it as a time of introspection to see what is it triggering in your past. Because usually that's what it is it's triggering something. It's triggering the times where you've lost someone, or you, car accidents and things like that. And it can certainly bring up the emotions that it's bringing up are usually not really directly taught. They were triggered by whatever this event was. But the emotions that we process after an event such as this are usually much more personal. You really need to, you know, whether it was when you lost someone, or for me, this situation is just reminding me so much of 9/11. And my father was at EMT at 9/11, but then he died. It was even crazier because then he died 6 weeks after he was in EMT of cancer, he didn't get cancer from being, he was sick when he went. And it's just bringing up, and I lived in Boston, and that actually where the bomb went off was the building I worked in, and that wasn't a really good time in my life, so it's bringing that up. And it, you know, so I think that if we just look beyond the, you know, we need to spend some time and what is it that it's bringing up, and what's the opportunity for healing? You know, and mm-hmm. we're not going to heal by just, you know, reposting Facebook pictures of the wreckage and things like that. But healing can take place if we are courageous enough to, you know, bring forth the emotions and then just kind of look at them and examine them, you know, and not just take them, oh, you know, she's so emotional, but examine the feelings that are tied to the emotion. You know, the emotion is just sort of a flag that you're having some feelings tied to an event, and whether it's that you have post-traumatic stress related to something, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and they've just been happening. I think that things, you know, tragic things have happened all through the history of man. But I think part of it is tied to the fact that we have so much more access, you know, through footage and through the social media, with we get reports of people, you know, who were right there. I think that we just have so much more access to this information that we're just forced to process things that, you know, even 20 years ago, we might not even have, known about. We might not even have known about, certainly not with the graphicness that we do right now. Because, like, today I saw pictures of some, across, because I couldn't stop watching. I couldn't stop looking on the Internet, and there was a man who both his legs got blown off, and there were just these stick bones sticking out. And I'm like, why am I doing? But anyway, it is. It's a complicated times. Crystal, do you have anything else to share?
Well, like you said, and I mean, obviously, this isn't the first time this has happened, nor, unfortunately, I hate to say, it probably won't be the last. But I like what you said about being able to, for each of us to try to take it to heart and look within as to why it's stirring with emotions and use it as an opportunity for healing and for us to grow as individuals. Because, you know, most people don't want to take it that deep and examine it and pick it apart and all that stuff, but that is the one way that we can actually truly connect to our inner selves and to heal what's going on in our lives and to make our lives more positive in all aspects. Because once we begin the healing process of some of these things that have happened to us in the past and some of our unresolved emotional issues, that's when we can actually grow spiritually, emotionally, and everything else and move forward. And, you know, actually grow into our own gifts, whatever they may be, and go from that point. Do you agree, Aurora?
Yes, definitely. Because I think we all are, you know, except the people who aren't affected by it are the ones I'm concerned about, sadly enough. So I think, you know, instead of dwelling, I mean, obviously, like I said, take the time to find out, like she said, to find out what the triggers are. Because I like how she broke that down. And mention things that you can find that relate it, you know, whether it's PTSD, whether it's because it reminds you of something that happened to you before or whatever. I like how she mentioned that. But, you know, I think that once we do the self-analysis, we can help others grow and come out that much stronger for it, because we all are affected by it. At least somewhat, you know. And I love how she mentioned earlier, and this part I did manage to catch before somebody knocked on my door. but she mentioned that during 9/11 they had done an electromagnetic thing and found that the vibrational frequency was higher during when everybody was banding together after 9/11. And I thought that was really amazing to hear that. And it would really be nice to see something like that come out of a tragedy again, you know, something very positive come out of something so dark.
Yeah, but it's interesting to think, you know, so something like, you know, 9/11 and, you know, and there was, you know, some good that came out of it, and then there was some bad that came out of it. And, you know, like everything, it's just a cycle. I'm curious if either of you have any suggestions as to, you know, how to have that same sort of compassion. How do we infuse the same kind of compassion and concern and love and care for our fellow inhabitants of the planet just on a day-to-day basis? Or do we truly need these tragedies of epic proportion just to remember our humanity?
I don't think all of us, I mean, I don't think most of us need this. I mean, I'm sure some people will argue and say, yeah, we need things like this to happen, to kick us in the tail, so to speak, so that we wake up and realize what we're doing and what we're or what we're not doing. But I think there are plenty of us, I think, that do things on a day-to-day basis to try to help our fellow man. I just don't think there are enough of us doing it. You know, it's kind of like... I had this bumper sticker on the back of my car, and I fully believe in it. That's why I put it on there. It said, practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And it's something I do all the time. I don't care if even if I'm in such a foul mood because everything in the world went wrong that day, that the only thing I can manage to do is let somebody out in traffic. Then at least I did something. You know, I try to at least do one random act of kindness a day. I usually do more like five. But, you know, even if that's the most I can do that day because I'm just not feeling that cheerful of a mood, I can usually at least do something for somebody somewhere.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I know when I do things such as that, and simple stuff, like exactly like in traffic, you know, mm-hmm. it's not like you have to, you know, or hold the door for someone, or, you know, I'll try when I go to Waffle House, I always like tip 100%, you know, because it's not that expensive, and I know plenty of people don't. I feel a shift in my energy for having done that. So if I'm in, and even if I notice, even if I do it like begrudgingly, because I'm just in such a bad, you know, I feel like I'm being so oppressed by the universe. I just force myself to do that. You can shift up the energy, because I notice you can either lean into the negativity, or you can lean into the light. And a lot of times when we're in a negative mood, whether it's for something, you know, that's genuinely, you know, traumatic, or if it's just one of those day-to-day traumatizing things, because it's funny, my daughter called me, you know, the day progressed. My daughter called me at about noontime with this with some sort of disaster, which was really not even warranted of a phone call. She was just, her feelings had gotten hurt because I don't know, some people were in town or something. Well, anyway, in the middle of that call, my son beeps in, and he got some letter in the mail tied to where we used to live in New York. He was 16 years old on some unresolved legal thing, and they were like, he needed to surrender immediately. So suddenly, like, her problem wasn't that, you know, she kind of got a healing sort of took place by being involved in this situation I had, you know, with my son. I mean, and then all of a sudden this came, and that's kind of like everybody's problems paled in comparison. But your problem, no matter how small it is, and whether you've created it or you've been the victim of something, or regardless of the circumstances, if something is making you uneasy, you know, it's causing disease, it needs to, the energy surrounding that, you know, somehow need to be changed. And that is, you know, random act of kindness, especially one where it is indeed random and you have no, you know, and you're not tied to the outcome, you know, you're not doing something for someone that somehow, because I know when we do things for the people that we love or the people that we know, even though we might call it a random act of kindness, because we're in a relationship, you know, in a dance of a relationship with this person, usually comes with some sort of strings attached, even though we don't intend to put strings on them. You know, it's like, well, God, why am I always helping them? So, and it will. I mean, I think that, I know when I do something like that, especially if it's totally like undetected, just doing it, nobody knows, I don't get any recognition for it or anything, I usually, after doing that, will experience a shift, and that's what we need to. But then a lot of times when we're suffering from something, we kind of want to wallow in it. I notice this a lot, and I've mentioned this on the show before, with a lot of, because I'm in a lot of widow groups, and I notice a lot of us, we don't even check to see how we're feeling. We just like wake up and go, I'm sad, I'm a widow, you know, and we just move towards the source of the pain, or, you know, the source of the negative emotions instead of away from it.
I think I can even relate to that in my past, you know, myself, with the moving towards, before I understood a lot of things the way I understand them now, I think I even understood that it's like this Amy Lee song, or Evanescence song of Lithium. At one part of the song, she says, I want to stay in love with my sorrow. And I think that everybody at least has a time in their life that they can't help but want to, like you said, wallow in it and not let it go and not realize that you're actually much happier in the long run if you just choose to let it go. You know,
yeah,
and
like
move on and be a better
resentments
person.
And things like that, we're really not even hurting the other person. You know, half the time, the person who we are, you know, harboring a resentment for doesn't even know that we're, you know, doesn't even know that we're angry. We really just use it to, you know, stay uncomfortable. And if we don't process, I mean, I truly believe that that was the source of my breast cancer, was just that I was not properly processing my emotions.
Well, and I think for me, I think the reason I did it back when I did it is I knew the only person I was ultimately hurting was myself, but I was misunderstanding what I was doing. I thought I was making myself tougher so that what happened to me wouldn't happen to me again. Little did I know that really I was just holding myself in this dark place and not letting myself out of it. You know, and finally, it took a lot for me to realize that's what I was doing and that I didn't want to be in that dark place anymore. And that's when I started learning a lot of things that I know now. I mean, it was about 2.5-3 years ago that I finally started leaving that dark place behind, you know, more so in the last 2 years than any.
It is. I mean, and it's hard to, because it becomes a friend. It becomes a friend. It becomes familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's uncomfortable, the familiarity makes it like a blanket, like a cozy little little blanket, because it's just so familiar. And I think you bring up another very good point is sometimes we feel that to forgive or to, you know, facilitate healing as far as a situation goes when somebody else was involved or someone else wronged us in some way, shape, or form makes us weak. And
yeah.
that if we didn't, because when we think of anger, you know, we think of it's very powerful, as very powerful emotion. So we feel powerful when we are angry, and it makes us feel alive. But if we feel more with our heart, you know, as we raise, and that's why the energetic stuff, you know, the lower vibration, the lower chakra type stuff vibrates at a lower frequency because it's heavier. And in the lighter frequencies, you know, the surrounding, you know, the chakras like our heart and our throat chakra and our third eye and our crown, those are lighter. So they don't feel powerful. They're almost ethereal. So it's sort of a shift in perception to realize, but that's where our healing powers come from. That's where, you know, the power to channel comes from, and to live an intuitive driven life comes from that higher vibration. So I don't think that even though it feels sometimes like weakness, and we generally equate those sort of emotions with weakness, it really isn't. It's really where our strength comes from.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I agree,
Crystal,
totally
are
with
you
all
still
of what
there?
You've been
Do you have
saying.
Something?
Yeah, actually, and like myself, like I've for most of my life since I was a teenager, I've battled with depression. Okay. And yes, there is a clinical aspect to this, you know, of misfiring of chemicals in the brain, et cetera, et cetera. But there is also an emotional aspect to this. And that's where you can actually, from the emotional aspect, really look at it like trying to raise your vibrations to almost fake it till you make it type thing. Of talking yourself out of it in some instances, you know. Of course, we're talking mild depression, not extremely severe or anything like that, where, you know, it requires, you know, institutionalization or anything. But where you, you know, if you're not feeling it right at that moment, at least try to pretend like you're happy, and then eventually you will start actually feeling it. Even if it's like you're going outside of your house and, like Aurora was saying, random acts of kindness to raise your vibrations, and what you were saying, Amy, as well, that really is one of the keys as well to helping to raise your vibrations. Even something as simple as a smile. Like, say you're out at Walmart and you smile at someone that you pass by, that may be the only smile that they received that day. That really could change their life, even for that moment. You never know the type of impact that you're having on other people. So that's one way to look at it, too. Don't you agree?
Definitely. And that makes me think of something, you know, have absolute fascination with the afterlife and most specifically the life review, you know, the life review that we go through when we're, you know, immigrating to the other side, for lack of a better term. And I think, you know, when we think about life review, you know, think about, oh, but, you know, when I stole this or when I had, you know, the sins that we, the sins going, you know, coming from a, you know, a religious mindset as opposed to a spiritual mindset. But my understanding of the life review is we really experience our whole life and all the impact of everything that we did while we were walking the planet as it impacted others. So, you know, the time that you cut somebody off in traffic and then they ended up missing their plane, or, you know, that's a bad example, but you get what I'm talking about. You know, then, you know, we have a chance to either, you know, bring light and healing, or we can, you know, have sort of an ego-based existence. And I think it's, you know, watching the ego play, you know, it's not going to be, you know, the life review isn't going to be so much about, like, every sin as they're defined, you know. Like, and then she went to Walmart on Sunday and they meet on Friday and, you know, whatever else we think of as being sinful. But it's really just our impact on others. And since I've gotten sort of this newfound understanding of what's entailed in our life review when we transition, you know, it's not so much like, oh, I better be good or I'm going to go to hell. It's like, I really should focus on, you know, living a purpose-driven life where I am of value and helpful to people, so I don't have to, like, you know, sit through this replay tape when I go to the other side. You know, and the more healing and evolving that we can do while we still have bodies, and sort of my way, I'm really thinking out loud right now. I'd be interested to see what you two have to say about it. The more we can do now, the more we can, for lack of a better term, bring heaven to earth, the more quickly, once our bodies fail us, we'll be able to get right to the cool stuff on the other side. So I'm curious if either of you have any comments on that.
I think that is absolutely amazing, Amy, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, because, yeah, there is a transition period on the other side that we all have to go through, and it depends on what type of life we've led. And, you know, I mean, granted, we are here to learn, and the way we learn is through hardship and through difficulty. But also, ultimately, what we learn out of those instances of things that happen in life, how we're able to turn that into something positive or good. Not necessarily, you know, like you said before, wallowing in it, turning it completely around and learn how to deal with things in a positive manner is really the key to a lot of things.
Yeah, because I honestly feel after Keith died, I could feel like when he was done, or I don't even know if you actually are done, but I felt a shift in the universe. And more importantly, my relationship with him when he was done with his life review. It felt like the earth moved or something, and the stars got brighter, and the world got lighter. And I honestly just felt a lot of resentments and things that I had harbored against him during our time together, some of which were pretty, like, you know, if you were going to be calling your girlfriend or, you know, to bitch about it and be like, wow, that's really, he sucks. I felt them almost like sucked out of my body with like a vacuum. It was really an amazingly powerful experience. And I also experienced that when my brother died in November, but I still don't experience it so much with the living. So that's sort of one of my goals, is to sort of bring this mindset of heaven to earth, where, you know, we, well, certainly we're supposed to be here having these bodies and having these experiences, some of which are going to be less than euphoric, to change my thoughts about them and change my reactions, you know, as far as my behavior goes, to sort of bring heaven to earth. Aurora, do you have any? Because I know you do a lot of channeling. And do you have any feedback on this based on your experiences and the work you do?
Actually, I agree with both of you on this, and especially you, Amy. I really think that's true, and I really think that while we do watch over, you know, some of our friends and family here on Earth, sometimes, you know, until the end of their life, in some cases, I've seen that, you know. I think that we kind of distance ourselves from certain things because we're enjoying, because I've never heard anybody say, oh, well, I just, you know, what's going on in the world today is just killing me over here. I've not heard anybody say that yet. But instead, everybody's full of forgiveness and love and happiness, and nobody's upset over what they're missing from their life. You know, they might bring up some stuff they had in life that they enjoyed, but usually that's so the person I'm channeling for will realize I've got the right person, not because they actually really missed that car over there. You know, so I think, you know, there is a lot to be said for that, that when we, because some people, I kind of feel, And I know everybody's beliefs on this is different, but my experience with what I do, I have some people that are still kind of earthbound, and then I have the people, like you said, that have completed their life review that I can still get a hold of, but I have to go about a whole different way to get a hold of them, because I literally have to walk over a bridge and into a field that's a long, complicated story, but ironically enough, Crystal will know exactly what I'm talking about. But basically, they're in this whole other, you know, spirit world, and they're not looking over here. They're doing their own thing, and they'll still talk to me, but they're more interested in being happy over there, not what we're doing over here. So,
well, let me ask you something about that. And for those of you who have dialed in, who weren't here at the beginning, you can collectively decided not really to do readings tonight because we're just feeling a little bit out of sorts about the events of the day. But since what you just said brought something up, is there a point in time where, as far as, you know, if someone has lost a loved one, is there a point in time, I want to say, I hate when I use earth words to describe spirits and, you know, and try to give spirits emotions because they don't really have them. But do we get to the point where we're, like, bothering the dead people? Like, they've moved on and then we go to the medium and, like, come here, we want to talk. You know, is it bothersome to the afterlifers?
Actually, I haven't noticed yet that that I've ever bothered anybody. Most of them are. I have noticed that some will talk a lot more than others, like almost like they've got that, like they don't mind to come and talk to me, but they really don't want to hang out for all that long. Like, yeah, it's me. I'm over here. I'm okay. See you later. Sometimes that's the most I get out of them. So, but they don't seem bothered. But, you know, it does seem like they've got better things to do.
So, do you think, and now we're really going off on a whole different tangent, but I think this is important for people who, because more and more people are going to mediums, and with Blog Talk and everything, more and more people are going out to their loved ones more frequently. Oh, I went outside and there's alarms going off. More frequently than maybe they did at the in the past, because, you know, they can do it for, all they have to do is dial the phone number. When is a good period of time after someone's transitioned, you know, to get the most powerful and comprehensive reading? Is there
It does seem to vary from person to person, but I can say that usually within, if I were to average it out, I'd say somewhere between 6 months to 5 years, because the first 6 months, sometimes some spirits are really, really confused. But that is another one of those things where I've seen some spirits ready to talk the next day, but I've seen others take even longer than 6 months, especially ones that are, for whatever reason, not actually moving on. But after 5 years, it gets a little bit harder to get any, you know, real answers or conversation going with somebody on the other side, you know, beyond, yeah, I'm over here, I made it, okay, see you later, you know. And sometimes I've had them to where they won't come, and there has been one occasion where I've had them not come and talk to me at all, and I was told by one of the other family members that were over there that it's because they had, basically because they had already reincarnated, but which is weird because in most cases I don't see that happening in that person's lifetime, usually. So that one was one of those weird things that just kind of happened. But I'm told from the people I have channeled over there that it's different for all of us. It depends on the contracts we signed and all that. So.
I think that's really one of the things that I have been so interested in lately. And there's a new book about it. It's called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and it's getting a lot of publicity on at least the Facebook groups that I'm in, and sort of about how our relationships with the people on the other side, or the spirits who were that we went through life with together, changes over time. Because I know in my own personal experience with Keith, that for a long time it didn't even feel like he was dead. I mean, it was so, and I think that he was still somewhat, earthbound during that period of time, and it just seemed perfectly normal. It just seemed like, you know, he was there and talking to me, and he was making himself physically appear to other people and things like that. Then, after a while, the relationship changed. Then we went through this period where we sort of worked out some of the things that had kind of been left unresolved from his passing. Now, I feel I'm more like in a kind of like a cheerleader, cross between like a cheerleader and an agent. So I don't really feel like, I certainly can still tell if some odd occurrence that or something out of the ordinary that happened, you know, I can usually tell, there's usually some telltale signs that it's him and not one of my other spirit guides or one of my other dead relatives go. But I think our relationship with those who have passed changes over time. And I think it's really important for those of us who like to stay in contact with our departed loved ones to sort of understand that the relationships, you know, do change. And I think that it's important for, in my medium development and things like that, I really tried to focus a lot on the idea of the relationship, you know, the relationship changing, just as if a relationship would change. Because I think a lot of times when someone dies, we think that everything just freezes and that when we, you know, and then when we go to, you know, a medium or a channeler to bring forth the energy of a departed loved one, we want them to be the person that we remember them as, you know, on their best day ever. You know, we want, like, I want my husband to be the person, what, the day that I couldn't fall asleep because I loved him so much I was going to miss him if I fell asleep, you know. And that's just not possible because they're energy, and energy moves and changes. So I think it's important for those getting readings and those who are actually giving readings to kind of educate. This is just a whole new world for so many people to, you know, this through all these near-death experiences and through mediums and such, and, you know, then through the internet where we can share all this information. This is just brand new territory for so many of us. You know, it's like, could you get the dead people birthday present? You know, it's a learning process, I think, for everyone involved, because there's been a huge cultural shift where more and more people seek out mediums, and many, many more people, even though don't, you know, truly believe in the, you know, truly believe in the after, you know, in the afterlife and spirits being breathing, you know, being real and not being an overactive imagination or wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Amy, I did have one thing to interject, though, as a word of caution to any of our listeners that do want to go to a medium for a channeled loved one. That, I mean, this is just, I think Aurora will agree with this, and you may as well, that I know usually when someone first passes, that is when your grief is most intense. However, personally, I feel that it is unethical for someone to try to connect with them immediately to at least 1 month after, till after that person has passed.
Yes.
So that they do have time for that transition period, because usually it is too difficult for them to come through because of all the things that they do have to work on themselves.
Yeah, it's like when your kids go to college, you know, and the first, you know, they're going through orientation and they're doing all this new stuff. It would be like when, you know, a mother calling their kid 500 times a day while they're trying to transition. But then I do also, I know just from personal experience, and I know that a lot of people who don't even believe or who don't even, you know, want to go to a medium for whatever reason, do in the period of time right after the person transitions, you know, either see them or dream about them or things like that. And I believe that those things are very real. But I think those sort of things happen in the very early period of time, you know, maybe the first 72 hours or, you know, very early on in the transition. But I think that, but that's very true. You bring up a very good point. And then, you know, I know it's usually when you agree and you really do want to hear, get the information and things like that. But a lot of times that, you know, and if it, a medium is, you know, proper, is doing the right thing, I don't want to say ethical or not ethical, but some word in that family of words, they will tell you that, and that's really, really important when, because so many people are, you know, seeking communications with their deceased loved ones. That I wanted to do a session at this thing called Camp Widow, but they're not quite ready for it. Is, you know, how to find a medium, and, you know, what the whole process, should you seek one, when, how to find a reputable one, what some of the little warning signs are that you may not have an experience experienced or professional medium, because there's an awful lot of people out there doing it. You know, especially in this economy, there's a lot of people who, you know, will go to an 8-hour medium development class and stop on the way home and get a neon palm and some business cards and put out a sign. So I really think that, and I think that's one of the great things about Blog Talk Radio, is you can be exposed to a wide variety. And like I said, like, while I have been studying this now for about 2 years, there's no way, shape, or form would I ever hold myself out being a medium. And while I do get messages and things like that, I'm just not experienced enough with working with the energy to really be the proper facilitator for such a sacred experience. And but I know Aurora, on the other hand, I have listened in on some of the shows that you've done, and you've been doing this for quite some time. You have quite a bit of experience. And Crystal, if your work that you do is really more healing work, right, than actually full-fledged mediumship?
Correct. I mean, I've done like you have and taken some mediumship courses and channeling courses, et cetera. I do detect energies and things like that, and I will tell someone that in a reading. But as far as messages and everything else, I won't even go there. You know what I mean? Because I will just say that, you know, the only thing that I will share with, you know, when I'm doing a reading is that they are with you and they love you. You know, to give them some sense of comfort, you know, but other than that, that's it. You know, I just refuse to go any further than that at this point, because I, you know, feel like you do, Amy, that, you know, it's something that you really need to have the experience behind you for quite a while in order to give it the proper respect that it deserves.
Yeah, and Aurora, you could probably explain. It's really more, I tried to explain it. I mean, because I certainly, you know, when I'm doing intuitive readings and card readings and things like that, and people will ask about deceased people, I'll feel different sensations or I'll see things and everything, and I'm sure that those are genuine messages. But I just don't, it's really just a matter of becoming comfortable with working with the energy,
right,
and being able to discern what the energy is and what the message is. And I think it also, for me, seems to be an awful lot of keeping my own experience, you know, being truly a channel. You know, a channel is just like a tube, you know, and keeping my experience, and, you know, because the message is not for me, the message is for the person that I'm giving the reading to. And I think it's one of the things that really takes a lot of work, is for a medium to be able to keep their own experience and being a pure channel of the message and not an editorial, you know, not editing the message. But we have, I left a little bit of extra time, and we weren't going to do any calls, but Kelly is in the chat room, and Kelly has a question, because someone, let's see if we can scroll back. Are any of y'all in the chat room? Crystal,
yeah,
or Aurora? Kelly's got a question about a friend of her, or a friend of her daughter, or Kelly's actually called in.
Okay.
Kelly, if you're listening, can you type the question again, and maybe Aurora can give you a quick reading on this?
Yeah, I can't get to it.
Is she there? Let's see. Wait, maybe Jan's going to type it for us, because I see. Okay. There was a woman, Devlin. She was only 29. I believe she is a friend of, and he died. Okay. Devlin is Kelly's daughter's friend, and he died unexpectedly. And let's see, and he has a little girl. And Kelly, what was your specific question? Just if he's made it safely. His lungs collapsed while he was sleeping.
I don't feel like he's been gone long enough.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that that's really just what we were just...
The reason why...
He only died in March.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I kept picking up like a... Well, like I do sometimes when I get people that haven't, you know, fully made the transition yet. I feel like he's in the process, but he's having a hard time. I'm even having a hard time making a connection to him, period. So, what was it said? I just saw
March
what she wrote
18th,
about the...
but it was 2 or 3 days before anyone found him. So, yeah, Kelly, you said he was frantic to let people know he loved them. And I think that's a lot of yesterday it was like he was in a tornado.
That's kind of what I'm getting right now, in fact, because it's like I can't, like he's trying to tell me something and I can't, I'm not able to make out what he's saying. No, I don't feel like he abandoned anybody either. He's definitely not giving me that feeling.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that happens when you do get a reading too soon is a lot of times I don't think that people quite know that they're dead yet, or if they don't know that they're dead, they don't really know how to, they only know how to do earth, they only know how to do things with their body. They don't really know how to manipulate their energy yet to give clear messages. So I think that that's why a lot of times we experience them. But I know when my daughter experienced Keith, she was really afraid that he was stuck. And it's because, you know, he wasn't stuck per se, but he really was sort of between two worlds. He only knew he had 55 years of experience in having a body and then couldn't remember, you know, but that's what was fresh in his mind. So he didn't really have his spirit legs. He didn't really have his spirit legs yet. So I think that happens quite a bit when people first pass over and we experience them. And sometimes it can be a little bit frightening because it seems like, I know my daughter said that Keith was crying, and that just really broke my heart to think of spirits crying. But I think that it was one of two things. He was either, not fake crying, but he was either expressing the emotion of crying because it was something that my daughter would understand, or perhaps he was still crying because he thought that he still had tear ducts.
Yeah. I actually got the feeling just now that it was both. I don't think he quite... I mean, he knew he was on the other side, but I feel like he really wanted to get... He wasn't... Even though he had, made the it over there and knew that, you know, he was on the other side... He hadn't quite adapted yet, but at the same time, I think he was kind of emotional and didn't know how, and wanted to let you all know that he was, especially her, know that he was, you know, still adjusting, and he wasn't happy about having to leave her either, you know, just yet.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it's important for people to... I think it's important for people to, before they seek out, you know, before they seek out immediate, you know, if they're to get a good reading, it's really important for the person who's receiving the reading not only to do some research to make sure that they go to an ethical and professional medium, but to also educate themselves a little bit about, you know, the spirit world. And because I think that it's really just going to enhance the overall experience. You know, it's just going to enhance the overall experience. But anyway, so this all went in a whole bunch of different directions. But Aurora, I really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Crystal, I really like having you as my new co-hostess here. And this is our new time, Monday nights at 9 o'clock. And Aurora, hopefully you can join us again. But before we sign off, why don't both of you give our listeners your contact information, just a brief description of some of the services that you can help our listeners with.
I give psychic readings and medium readings, and I also do some energy work. You can contact me at aurorarosepsychic@gmail.com, Aurora spelled A-U-R-O-R-A, or mediumaurora.com.
So what's the first one, Aurora?
AuroraRosePsychic@gmail.com.
Putting it in the room now.
Thank you.
Oh, Jan wrote it in. Thank you.
Jan wrote it. Thanks, Jan. And let's see, Medium Aurora.
.com.
Okay, got it. And I'm Crystal of Fate, and I do angel card readings as well as I do a type of distance Reiki healing that I call angelic crystal Reiki, and I could be contacted at crystalofate396@gmail.com.
Perfect. And if you can type that in, and I just put in my Facebook's the easiest way to get me. And in addition to doing this radio show, I help people with matters of death and dying and grief and mostly grief work and things like that. I do Reiki and healing and things like that, but I sort of consider myself an apprentice in those matters. So but I do urge you, and especially if you're looking for a reading, Aurora is fabulous, and to connect with a loved one, Aurora is fabulous, and I think that you will find her pricing structure to be very reasonable and well worth the investment. So I really appreciate that both of you were around tonight, and I think in closing that we should shift our focus back to just sending out healing energies and love to everyone who has been impacted by the events of the day, both those who suffered directly and those who are just suffering, you know, just energetically and just for some of the reasons that we've talked about. And I appreciate our, I know some people popped in and out, and there were some people who I think were listening for a while and popped off. But next week we will be back doing, I do mermaid card readings, and Crystal does her angel cards, and we will be doing
We will be doing the readings, and hopefully, Aurora, you can stop back in again soon and join us. So anyway, if everybody wants to, I am going to end the phone part of the conversation, but if everybody wants to stay in the chat room for a little bit, we'll leave that open because I didn't really get a chance to chat with everybody. So if you guys want to stay in, we can chat a little bit. And thank you, Crystal, and thank you, Aurora, and we'll all talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Aurora.
Thanks, Crystal.
Thanks.
Love and light to all those in Boston. Thank you.